Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Film Haven Reviews. I'm your host Sawyer as always, and today we are continuing this theme of art house cannibalism with a movie that is definitely probably the most independent film, artsy kind of feeling out of the three, although I haven't seen the third one, so maybe that's a tentative description, but still, wow, the movie we're talking about today is Bones and All from 2022. Without meaning to, it's the same year as Fresh, so sometimes it just happens that way. You know, cannibalism movies, there is always like these trends, right? Like sometimes certain types of movies come out all at once. There's even kind of a production thing to that where some scripts are held on to until they find another movie coming out that's similar, and then they say go, go, go in the production so that they can kind of capitalize on the same vibe. I don't know if that's what happened here, but I'm just saying that does happen. That's how you get movies that are like kind of the same, The Illusionist that came out in the same year as The Prestige, or that movie No Strings Attached, the romantic comedy that also came out the same year as Just Friends or Friends with Benefits. You know, they're very similar movies. They've got, you know, similar vibes going on, and they come out at the same time. So you're kind of like, something's going on here. It's not just great minds think alike. It's actually a production thing. Once again, not saying that happened here, but that is just an interesting little fun little thing. So Bones and All, I have lots to talk about with this movie because it was so interesting. What a weird amalgamation of things here. So as a general kind of vibe, it's a horror romance. So that's already in and of itself a little unique. Not that there aren't other horror romances, but the way that this one does it is very interesting. It's kind of more of like a coming of age story, like a classic. I mean, it even takes place during the 90s, and it kind of feels that way. Like some of those 90s movies that were coming out a lot. I mean, I'm thinking like What's Eating Gilbert Grape or Where the Heart Is. Isn't that right? What that was called, with Natalie Portman. All these kind of Midwestern 90s kind of feeling movies. Some of the movie takes place in Kentucky and stuff, but it does have a very kind of rural Midwestern vibe to it. But at the same time, it's also a very disturbing horror movie. The horror aspect is more, I would say it's more of the background stuff. It's a disturbing film to be sure, but at the same time, it doesn't have the same notes as like a normal horror movie. It's not like a slasher or even like a psychological horror movie like Hereditary or something like that. It doesn't have, horror is not the first part of the genre, I guess. It's not in bold. The romance is in bold. Maybe the drama, the coming of age story part is in bold. And then the horror kind of is the background. It kind of is maybe used as more of a device for the greater themes of the film, and it kind of brings the characters together as well, which is just, it's very interesting. As I suspected, being directed by the same director, Luca Guadagnino of Call Me By Your Name, this movie is very intimate, and there's a lot of intimacy that is expressed throughout it. It's also similar in the way that, I didn't really know how I was feeling about it. I knew I liked it, but at the same time, it was like kind of disturbing me a little bit, and I was just kind of like, I don't know how to feel about this, but I knew one thing. I knew that I was mesmerized. Like, it's a very engaging, rapturous film. Like, it really captures your attention and kind of puts you into a vibe and just, like, holds you there. In a way, it's almost hypnotic. It's quiet, but then it has moments of great drama. And then it also, I think that the concepts are really engaging. The main character, Marin, played by Taylor Russell, she's a very engaging character because I think the intro, we'll get to that in a second, but the intro really kind of like really captures your attention and makes you very curious about her character and her journey. And then she goes on this kind of, yeah, it's very classic American story in some way, you know, because she's like this drifter. She becomes a drifter and she's looking for her mom. And some of that stuff is so like been there, done that. And especially in those like 90s kind of movies. But at the same time, similar to the last movie, there is a quote unquote fresh kind of updating to an old story. There's a new twist, and that comes with the cannibalism. The cannibalism, like I suspected, in this movie is a lot more raw. But what's interesting is that the concept behind it, there's almost a lore of sorts that's being built behind this cannibalism. The best way I can describe it is closer to like vampirism. These people that there are other people, quote unquote, eaters that are out in the world that kind of have to consume bodies, that have to eat people in order to kind of sustain themselves in a way. There is maybe definitely some parallels there to drugs and to addiction. But I think also almost more so there's a parallel to just being an outcast. I mean, think about it this way. If you had kind of an insatiable and you would almost go into a trance like you wouldn't even remember afterwards. You kind of have this like insatiable desire to eat another human being, and then once you start eating on them, you kind of go into a trance, you know, especially when you're younger, and then afterwards you don't even remember doing it, but then you're aware that you do that, and you're aware that you're getting hungrier by being next to people. I mean, that's such a, if someone knew that, of course, that would make you a monster. It would ostracize you from society. And so these characters in the movie, especially the two main characters, Taylor Russell's character and Timothy Chalamet's character, Lee, are outcasts in society. They are on the fringes of the world and they feel that way. They kind of want to be normal in some ways, but they also kind of resent being normal because they want to embrace what makes them unique, even though that is something that is very taboo. I mean, probably the most taboo thing, one of, that you can do in human society. And so I think that they're definitely wrestling with a lot of those kind of concepts. But the outcast nature of them is what is kind of propelling their relationship forward in a way. But then there's like also a genuine relationship within there too, where they kind of open each other up and let each other... they kind of inform each other about more about themselves, which is interesting. There's a line in the movie where they're kind of arguing and Timothy Chalamet is saying, you know, I think that you're scared because, being with me kind of holds a mirror to yourself and it makes you actually have to face yourself a little bit, which I think is a unique narrative when it comes to relationships, because, of course, everyone needs to be their own person. Everyone needs to be individual, even within their relationships. And one of the telltale signs of a bad relationship or a toxic relationship is that the individual gets lost within the relationship. So you feel like the individuality between the two people in a relationship is not being fostered. Now, that is not good. But and that gets played a lot in movies, of course, as it should, because it's an interesting and maybe productive to talk about within the framework of a relationship. But what doesn't get talked about a lot is how sometimes being in a relationship can reveal more about yourself. Spending a lot of time with another person, especially the more committed that you get, the more it can reveal or show or hold a mirror up to your own actions, to your own personhood in a way, especially in a situation like in this movie where the main character is kind of trying to find her mother, but also find herself and come to terms with her differentness, the things that make her different. And it's a very scary thing. Then there's also all this moral quandary that's going around, and it comes to the point where it's maybe just a slight tad morally dubious, because there's a lot of talking about, am I a bad person and all this stuff. And, you know, they are actively murdering and eating people. So they're definitely, I mean, if this was real life, you may be like, you definitely like, you might not be a bad person in some ways, as in like you might not want to do all this stuff, but you are killing people, and that's, you know, pretty like reprehensible. So maybe you should put yourself into some kind of treatment facility or turn yourself in, that kind of stuff. But within the framework of the drama, you know, there's a bit of fantasy here. This isn't real. People don't actually have this kind of condition where you have to eat people in order to sustain yourself, and otherwise you're going to turn, you know, you're going to basically die of hunger. You know, that doesn't exist. So I think that it's more metaphorical, of course, and it's basically, am I my actions, or can I be better than what I have done in my life? Like those kind of questions, which I think are a lot more productive. But there is a lot of moral quandaries within this movie as well. I mean, really, it's a beautiful movie, despite being a very gross movie in parts. I'm not going to say that the movie isn't super gross, but at the same time, I think that there are many... It could have been a lot grosser, and I think that the director, Luca Guadagnino, definitely put more of a subtle hand in the horror aspects of this movie. I think it relied a lot more on vibes, a lot more on disturbing insinuations than it did actually showing you things. There, not to say that there weren't parts that were showed, because there definitely were. The intro scene in particular, you get to see the main character like bite off a girl's finger, and it's like ripping the skin off. It's very visceral. But then you don't see another gross moment for another like 20 minutes or so. So it's definitely part and parcel, and it's not, like I said, it could have been a lot worse. They could have made this a lot more of a sensational movie. Cannibalism is something that is, in some ways, I could say, almost low-hanging fruit, because you're obviously going to be getting someone's attention or to be getting shock value out of something like consuming another human. It's very sensational, of course. Because it's pretty much the most taboo thing you can do. And Fresh did a good job at that, too. It's more of the insinuation. They could have been a lot grosser. That movie was actually not very grotesque. It's more in the subtle insinuations, like I was saying before. It's more of the indication of what is happening. You know, you're eating something that looks like meatballs, kind of, but you know that it's humans. And that knowledge is what makes the horror or the disturbing factor ratchet up, rather than something like Cannibal Holocaust or Green Inferno, the Eli Roth movie, where you're just seeing raw, just people just, you know, eating. And it feels a lot more sensational. And there's a time and place for those movies as well. But I think in a movie like this that has this concept that they're trying to push, it's more of the story. It's more of the themes. It's more of love and romance that's being pushed. And it's using this horror as a way to accent or accentuate the greater themes that are going on, the romance and the love story and the coming of age story that's really happening, which is I think most pivotal to the movie, in my opinion, even though the love story is, I think, pretty genuine and engaging. Towards the beginning of the movie, when the love story hadn't really started yet and the coming of age story is kind of happening, but it's also a lot about her discovering like the nature of her cannibalism. I was almost teetering on not liking the movie because it was kind of really dark, obviously. I mean, she's kind of finding out through her father her history of eating other people, even as a child. Like she kills her babysitter as a 3-year-old, and you know, that's very dark. And then she meets this older guy who is the first other eater, quote unquote, that she has ever met. And he's kind of like teaching her how to be like a, you know, out and out eater. And it's a pretty disturbing scene. They eat this old lady who's laying down in the house. And it's just very like, it definitely was very disturbing. And even in that scene, like I was saying, like, it could have been a lot grosser, but it's almost worse in some ways because of the insinuation, because whenever they really get down to consume the body, the camera cuts away from the action and focuses on the family portraits in the room and showing that the lady had a family and all this kind of stuff, which is a double whammy, because not only are you listening to the sounds, which are very gross, of them eating a body, which is just, I mean, oh my God, like that's horrible, but also you're seeing that this person had a family and you're having almost some character development in a way of this character that has only been on screen for so long and is now being actively consumed. So yeah, at that point in the scene afterwards, where the old man's like in his underwear and tank top and he's all bloody and looks really gross, and he's showing her his like hair rope collection there. He takes everybody's hair that he's ever consumed and ties it into a big rope. It's very gross. At that point, I was like, man, is this too disturbing? Like, where is this going? You know, it is engaging. Like I said, I'm still in it. I'm mesmerized, but at the same time, I'm very disturbed. But then the movie takes a turn after that scene where she eventually finds Timothée Chalamet's character, Lee. And I think as soon as Lee hits the movie, it really, like, the engagement just goes up to 11. It's no secret that Timothée Chalamet is a good actor. I mean, I'm going to see him in Dune at the night of this release. And you know, he's been in so many different movies. I remember first seeing him in the movie Beautiful Boy, and that really sold me on him because he played such a good character in that. And of course, Call Me by Your Name is just he's just insanely good in that movie. I do think he looks like a 12-year-old boy. I still feel like that. Like, as a person, I'm sure he's fine, but like, I just like, I almost can't take him seriously because he's just so, like, I don't know, he's just interesting looking. But at the same time, every time I see him in a movie on screen, I'm just sold. And, you know, this movie is no different. Lee, his character Lee, is just is very interesting. He has a very, he's very deep, and he has a lot of character development that develops throughout the movie. But at the same time, Timothy Chalamet does a great job at kind of exuding that deep character even from the first scene. You kind of get like his physical body language even really translates his entire character, which is a lot of people can't do. And there's just some people that can command a screen, and he's one of them that just kind of naturally has command of the screen through very subtle acting, which not, once again, not a lot of other people can do that. So yeah, both of the main characters are very well developed. I would say that Marin's development is more the one that's focused on as far as her journey, because she starts out one way and she kind of develops the most. But and while, because I think in the first, you don't meet Lee until the first like 30 or 40 minutes into the movie, he has a lot more development behind the scenes that's already happened. And once again, as an actor, that was really impressive that he could exude that without before you even really get there in the movie. And by the end of the movie, they both develop together, and it's very nice. And one thing about the movie is that it does have a very bittersweet ending, which is very, seems to be Luca Guadagnino's thing. The only other movie I've seen of his is Call Me By Your Name, but that movie also, I don't even know if bittersweet's the right word. Same with this. It kind of just feels like the movie just like couldn't end like on a really good note, like you really want it to. And sometimes I get a little tired. Here's the thing. I just feel like the movie didn't necessarily have to end the way that it did. I'm not going to tell you what happened. And it's not completely a horrible ending as far as like for every character involved, but it is not necessarily the high note that you may be yearning for watching the movie. But then again, with a movie like this, you would expect maybe something, it's a horror movie or something like that. I think that the reason why the movie ended the way it did, at least in my mind, is because they had to wrap up all the character arcs. And I think that's, that to me is maybe a, not a, a tick in the win column, but I know that people could probably argue that it kind of brings the concept full circle. But I just, I think personally, I was just a little like, ugh, man, like the movie is very somber. The movie has a lot of moments of horror, disturbance, things that are not fun, that are not happy. I just feel like I would have liked the ending to be a little different. And maybe that's just wishful thinking, honestly. I know that if I was to talk to Luca Guadagnino, he could give me a very good answer as to why the movie had to end the way that it did. But for me, I was just, I mean, it doesn't really necessarily affect my feeling on the movie. I think I'm still going to give it the same score I gave Fresh, 8.5, because it is, I mean, this is like the type of movie that some people say isn't really made anymore. I hear a lot of complaints on Filmstagram and by movie critics, especially really stuffy ones, that the day of the independent film or the day of the like introspective film is over, basically because of Marvel movies and all kinds of big budget blockbusters, that those are the things that sell. And so there's no more big movies that are very conceptually strong and smaller, quiet themes and delivery. But this movie is a perfect example of a movie that hits all of those notes and does it really well. I mean, other than, like I said, the ending, I really have no complaints about the movie and only actually really enjoyed most of it. I'd say the biggest draw is not only just the conceptual deepness of the film, the acting is incredible, some of the cinematography is really good, especially when it comes to the setting, the scenes that really show off the landscapes that they're going through, Nebraska and Kentucky and Illinois and Ohio, and they're really like, it really shows Midwest America in a way that is beautiful and I think well deserving, and that is cinematography, that is well placed shots, that's very good camera quality, also a good choosing of really good times of day to shoot as well, which really helps. I think some of those shots are like in the sunsets and magic hour and all that kind of stuff is, it really heightens the beauty of the film. And there is a big contrast between beauty. There's a grittiness to the movie, but there's a lot of beauty in it as well. And so there is definitely a constant war between grittiness and beauty within the film. And that's even within the concepts. I mean, there is this beautiful love story burgeoning between two cannibals who, you know, very grotesquely consume human bodies. So that is that's about as dichotomous as you can get. So I really enjoyed this movie. I didn't even really need to get into the synopsis of the film, just because you can, I think you can kind of extract what this movie is about, because you know what a coming of age story is. You know the concept of the way that the cannibalism works in this film. You know the two characters. And so, yeah, I mean, you don't really need a synopsis. You just, if this sounds good, I definitely recommend it. It's on Amazon Prime. If you have Prime, it's free. So very much recommend this movie if you have the stomach for it. But like I said, I mean, it's not, it could have been a lot more grotesque than it was. I'd say if you can make it through the first 20 minutes of the movie, then you could probably make it through the whole thing. And other than that, there's probably maybe a handful of scenes that are really just like, you know, a good way to put it is that when they do show you, they don't shy away. So it is like a really big gut punch, but they don't give you that many gut punches. A lot of it is more insinuated. And I think that that's a really powerful way of filmmaking. It lets you feel it when they really want you to, and then it rides on the high notes in order to deliver the subtle notes in between, in between the scenes of great intensity and disturbance. So I think that for a lot of people that aren't really into horror, like classic horror movies, they might actually like this. If you like a good drama and you like a good love story, and you can maybe sit through some of the more disturbing parts, I think you're going to get a lot out of this film. So I very much appreciated this, and I really liked it. There really is a lot to chew on with this film, and I really feel like it's one that will stick with you for a little bit. I watched it, me and Allie watched it probably, last Friday or something, and this is a few days after that I'm recording this, and it has been sitting in my head a little bit, which that's really usually a sign of a good movie. I've talked about that before, but if a movie leaves you a lasting impression and something that kind of sticks in your head for the next few days, definitely something worth watching, and definitely something to maybe even watch again. I could watch this again for sure and probably pick up on a lot of different themes and maybe get a clearer picture of what the movie actually is about. But regardless, it's very enriching, and most importantly, it's mesmerizing. It's very much a mesmerizing movie, hypnotic even, like I said before. So, hope everybody has a good week this week. Next week, we are going to be doing the movie Dumpling, or Dumplings, which I don't really know much about, so that's going to be really interesting. Definitely the wild card of this theme, and I like to have at least one wild card in there, and I'm very excited because I don't think a lot of people have seen this movie. So I think a lot of you listening to this will enjoy something a little different, something a little under the radar. Anyway, so hope you guys have a great week this week, and I will see you next Friday.